Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Four-Sided Dive, Critical Role's monthly talk show featuring a roundtable discussion about the events and characters of our current campaign, alongside a heavy helping of hijinks. Four-Sided Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Critical Role and youtube.com/Critical Role, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. Let's dive into the chaos.
What are you doing now? You're halfway in and halfway out.
I'm just like, there's a hip flexor thing. I'm sort of in the shot and I'm sort of out of the shot.
Are we rolling?
No.
Rolling.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
This is the show.
This is Four-Sided Dive.
The question I have is, will the wheels just come off without Marisha here? Or will we pull out of a nosedive?
I feel like it already has.
Well, luckily for all of you, you get to roll and find out who's going to be the host.
There's a structure.
Are these our dice?
Can I roll the D6?
No. Later.
All right.
That's for later.
All right.
Okay. I'll be Vex.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Sam Riegel, and this is Four-Sided Dive. I feel like I just did like a jackass thing. I'm Johnny Knoxville.
Go.
I got a 19.
That's you!
Yay.
Yes!
Okay. All right, what do? I go over here?
There. Oh, go over there and read what's on the card.
Are we going? You can't.
Action,
okay. Ice cold prompt to read. Here we go. Well, here we are. They let us do another one. I, Sam Riegel, rolled the highest, making me your second tavern keeper. So I have to host this train wreck and read off this here teleprompter without reading it beforehand, which is why I'm going to read the rest of this doing my best impression of Ford's accent. Which one? I guess we'll find out. He had two.
He did.
Okay. This'll surely go off without a hitch blast. Wow, that was terrible. Tonight we'll unpack the puzzlingly purple, telepathically tacked tack box of
Just FCG. It's just do a southern accent. Why are you doing it,
but he's deeper than me.
Okay.
Yuck. Tack box of Laura Bailey's ultimate horse girl Imogen Tumult. Tack is the correct word for horse equipment, fun fact. Orem, Liam O'Brien's teeny, tattooed, twinkle-toed tank, is the talk of the town. And how's this for a segue?
Like he'd say Eldritch Blast.
Bait and switch blast.
Nailed it.
Wow.
Sam Riegel, the Jaws of Joy, is playing a robot cleric. Was he that British?
Sure. I don't know.
Is playing a robot cleric, because I guess that's where we are at now. That's where we're at now. But fresh cut grass is so adorable, it makes me want to change Ford accents. Okay, now I change. Okay. And help, it's again. Taliesin Jaffe is playing another homebrewed subclass. And in the spirit of Ashton's fundamental chaos, let's roll on a random table to see how I throw to the opening titles.
Ooh, it's just like we're at the old globe.
I rolled a 2, which means sad dad dance.
Aww.
Let's see it.
What does that mean?
Just how do you dance, man?
Basically, it's just your own dance.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that does. I love that it's not the full body. It's just...
floss that sadness away.
How dare you? How did we get here?
Keep reading.
Wait, oh, there's more? I thought that was the throw. There's more? Be sure to stick around, because later we'll be beating each other up in a Critical Role Street Fighter V tournament of epic proportions. Do you like this intro? I did it myself. Welcome to Four Sided Dive. Let's fucking do a show! And we're back. Let's drum up some hot theories and postulations with our first installment. What the fuck is up with that?
Oh, hey.
We have three main topics that we're going to consider today.
You're doing great.
Doesn't seem canned at all.
Before we dive in, eagle-eyed viewers may have already noticed that I'm wearing flip-flops today.
Ooh.
And this is...
What the fuck is up with that?
Put them down.
I'm just trying to get noticed and on the internet.
No.
I want people to post pictures of my feet.
Stop it.
Now it's going to happen because you said it. It might not have happened before, but now it definitely will.
Let's kick off the conversation with these experts of role-playing. And experts in their field, actors extraordinaire all. What's it been like to have a group? So this is the show, by the way, everybody, where we talk about Critical Role and the stories and characters that make it so interesting and compelling.
You're doing great.
And we're going to start by diving into this question that I'm going to ask off the cuff right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's shoot the shit.
What has it been like to have a group that's so fluid? With Bertrand's death, did this fall out? Chetney joining? Dorian leaving? What the fuck was up with all that? Let's all discuss and get into it, really.
I gotta read the question from the screen because I was not paying attention to what he was saying.
What's it been like to have a group so fluid with Bertrand's death, Chetney joining, Dorian leaving? What the fuck was up with all that?
Third time's the charm.
You go, Liam.
Go. I mean, it does feel a little bit, the beginning of it felt like people, we're all travelers, so everyone's sort of passing in the halls. As it was, it didn't feel like this is my home. Well, you were a traveler last time, so that doesn't hunt.
No, I don't know. I guess it felt kind of weird that people were coming in and out so quickly, though, at the beginning. Mm. Like, it felt really weird when Bertrand died and we were without Travis for those
episodes.
Felt
weird for you. Felt great for the rest of us.
You got a lot of elbow room out of that.
More screen time.
That, too.
Yeah, it was weird we were still getting to know each other's characters, and then that was a big dynamic shift, right? And we had to figure, it just made it more complicated to learn who everybody was and what their goals are. I still don't know what some of y'all's goals are, honestly.
Yeah.
But I will say,
shit.
Dorian/Robbie
yes.
was so great to, he was just so great. First of all,
in many ways, yeah.
But also, he was a good way for us to explore. He was such a kind character, is such a kind character that it felt like any of us could talk and relate to him and get support and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was a good sounding board.
And I heard he had a big crush on one of our characters.
Wait, is that true?
Is that true?
Yeah. Like,
was that an EXU reveal?
No, it was mentioned on the last episode of this show.
Like, he was hardcore in love with one of the characters.
Is that true?
Those were the words he used.
I'm pretty sure it was FCG, but he didn't say for sure, but I think it was FCG.
That's the only one that makes sense.
You're messing with me now.
It was interesting after doing two full campaigns with you a-holes that I love to come in from like a shorter run story with Ashley and Robbie, and then you guys felt like outsiders to me, which was weird.
Yeah, you guys had your little group. It was really. It doesn't feel like that anymore, but I like it. It's kind of like it's got an X-Men vibe. You know, it's just like a little bit of a rotating.
That's true.
Got a little movement around
it. True. Like which group was which? Were we X-Force, X-Factor, New Mutants, Uncanny X-Men? X-Men.
Ecstatic really is like, I'm going to go really obscure there.
Is that a real one?
That's a real one, Ecstatic.
Ecstatic?
I have a problem, yeah. It's terrible. You'll love it.
Oh, wait, you did collect comics when you were young.
I did, but I was I never fucked with X-Men. I was not into it.
Your mother told me you read Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four.
That's what she said.
Thank you. That's weird to say about my mom.
We sat down and talked because I was
that's
like,
what she said.
I needed information, and she was happy to tell me way more about your childhood than you ever will. So I learned a lot.
I don't like how close you are with my mom.
Your mom is all of our mom now. That's
yeah.
just how it
yeah,
is.
That's true.
Momlin forever.
Hi, Lenore.
Hi, Momlin.
There she is.
Yep. Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
Yes, I read Fantastic Four. I was not big into X-Men for some reason. I don't know. Too many people.
That's a lot. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's
I'm not good with
very
names.
Much the...
We've noticed.
Yeah.
Or faces.
Clothes, anything, really.
Uh-huh. Certainly shoes. Boy, they're just out there.
Stop.
I didn't
even cut my nails.
We know.
I can tell.
Can we fly in some lotion?
If they do get on there, they're not going to be rated well, Samuel.
No.
You got to trim those
but
toenails.
Our audience will... I know, they're really gross.
Do you remember it?
Our audience will help boost my ratings.
No, please bro, stop talking about your fucking feet.
Do you remember in 80s classic Lost Boys... When the vampires would hang upside down by their bat-like toes.
Yeah.
Can
there
I?
It is. There.
Oh yeah.
Can I confess something?
Yeah.
You've never seen Lost Boys.
Wow. Oh my God. We
that
have a
seems
movie
like
night.
Such a Laura
oh,
movie.
I know, and Travis loves that movie.
Oh, I do too.
And I don't yeah. think I've ever told him that I haven't seen it.
Well,
hopefully he doesn't watch.
Wow.
He might be watching right now.
We should. That's a classic. I think you'd love it. It's yeah. great.
It really. Like no one can see every movie, but that seems right. like such a Laura.
I don't know yeah. why. I don't know why.
Really. I'm shocked that they haven't remade it. Have they remade it?
They will.
Yeah, they
They've
will.
They've got to,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Especially after this.
Star, the character star? Oh, we're
like
going to segue?
Point to a different camera.
Is that it? Is the segue
that's
happening?
That's a good, yeah. good segue. Oh.
Speaking of remakes, how do I segue this into the question? Am I supposed to segue?
Yeah.
My job is that.
It is your job.
Hi. If you're just joining us, this is Foresighted Dive. I'm Sam Riegel, your host for tonight. We're talking to the cast of Critical Role, Liam O'Brien, Laura Bailey, Talison Jaffe, Danny Carr over there to keep us honest. She is not into this at all.
Leave me out of this.
She has better
The next topic
to
for a casual conversation, guys, Ruidus.
Speaking of creatures of the night.
What the fuck is up with there?
What is up with there?
So what have we learned? Let's recap.
Moon is haunted.
Moon is definitely haunted.
Well, you've seen the most of all of us. Right, because your dreams happen on the moon. Have we?
I guess they happen on the moon.
Have we established that?
We haven't said it definitively, but I mean, red storm, red moon.
It's implied.
It's implied.
And your mom was doing moon research.
No.
Moon stuff.
My
research.
Mom. Well, my mom was being researched.
What?
My mom was being researched. She was one of
For
these
what?
People being studied.
Moon stuff.
Ruidus born.
That's because why have she's Ruidus born.
Potentially, or she, yeah, it didn't say in the cool. I only uncovered like this little snippet of notes. It didn't say she was Ruidus born, at least not that I remember in the notes. It said, Danny would probably know. Did it say she was Ruidus born?
Danny's up. Danny's up.
Basically, Sam, as I tell you what happened on your show, yes, the notes did not say that she was Ruidus born. It just said that she was part of this study
okay.
that was talking about psychic powers
and dreams
connected with red storms and
yeah.
things like that. And the Loomis twins had taken out the rest of the study.
This is the real deal.
Yeah. So it happened so fast. You know, in the game, you're trying to write it down. But Danny knows all.
Yeah, she does.
In deep X-Men lore that
yeah.
would make you Hope Summers, which I'm very excited about. Right there. See, the super...
I don't
super,
know any of them.
No, you would. No one would. I'm even curious if that...
No, what, remind me.
Daughter of Scott and Jean Grey Summers.
Yes.
Oh.
Ironically,
yes.
they live on the moon these days.
Getting us back to the moon
it's
topic.
All right there.
Yeah.
We know a little bit that your family and your dreams are connected to the
yeah.
moon. We know that there is such a thing as Ruidus born, which carries bad omens, or at least omens.
It's up. For debate?
Yeah. Who knows?
We'll
it
see.
Could just be.
But do any of our other characters have strong moon things?
I mean, he's got big moon, little moon.
Yeah.
Is that just a coinky?
That's a coinky. That's
wow.
just. I just thought it was romantic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do those symbolize anything?
Where are you going
what?
With this?
I don't know. What do they symbolize?
The moon?
Yeah,
big moon,
the moon's
little
on his
moon.
Arm?
Yeah, Big Moon, Little Moon. Is that like you and your husband? It's
just that's what the show is for, is to catch Sam up to speed.
You were there at the table Spoon when he moons. Was talking about
it. Yeah, oh, that's why I think that.
Oh, boy.
If you're just joining us, everybody, this is Four-Sided Dive, and we're going to take a station identification right now.
Yes, once upon a time, Orym and Will used to look up at the sky and be like, ah, see them? That's us.
And so your
big
husband
moon,
is a bigger a bigger fella?
He's a half-elf.
He's a half-elf.
Mm-hmm. I should know this. Mm. This is a great show. I get to, this is like, it's like a cram session for me. Mm-hmm. A recap.
Crib notes.
What else did I miss?
I don't know.
Wow.
We'll find out.
It's a long show there.
Travis is actually a werewolf. Also moon related.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Any other? Do you have moon things?
I do not have moon things. As far as I know, there are no
moon
things.
Can we make you have moon things?
We can.
Retroactively?
I mean, I will say I want to go to the moon real bad. I'm really hoping we go to the moon.
For sure.
If there's any opportunity to go to the moon, I'm
maybe
I'm there.
You're made of moon rock.
I might be made of moon rock. Mm-hmm. I also, theoretically, I can also like change the stone a little bit as like
you can?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Into moon rock?
What are your
moonstone? Maybe it'll be like shimmery. Ooh, and
again,
moonstone.
To recap for me, you have four things that you do, right?
I do.
Four modes?
I have four modes.
And do we know what they, we've all seen them all by
we've
this
seen
point,
them all.
Right?
Play, fast forward, rewind, record.
It's time.
Time.
What else? Because he was, because he
nip,
drank the.
Bop. Nip.
Yep. No.
Zoodle-loop-bop.
Schnapp.
Sit it. Ha. Bitty. Do. Ha.
Fix it in post.
Fix it in post.
Remove me.
I don't even know what they're not talking about. There's spoilers that I don't even know that have been on the show. So you've got time. Mm-hmm. You've got what? Motion?
Space.
Space.
Yes.
Sound familiar? Nope.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Dunamancy.
There you go.
Yay. Yeah. It's a Dunamancy.
What's the fourth?
Luck, or that's the probability manipulation is the fourth one. So,
but none, no moon,
no moon, no moon mode.
Okay. Unless the beacons come from the moon.
Yeah, because well, there's people are there's
Am
some
I
interesting.
Am I treading water again?
No, I don't think so. The beacons could be like little poop nuggets out of a god's tuchus.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Or they could be chunks of moon.
Oh my
moon,
god!
The moon
what
could
if
be
the
chunks
beacons
of
are just poop?
Yeah. What if there's a giant god bunny?
Or monkey.
And just brrrp all over Alexandria.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm. Souls are stored in poop.
I revealed it all.
Wow. This is amazing. We have much more time to talk about this topic.
There's more.
Now I know that there's a third topic, but I'm just doing the mental math. Mm-hmm. We have a minute and 10 seconds left to talk about this topic.
Oh, wow.
Time, space, gravity, and mind.
You're a good
Those
host.
Are the four.
I'm one of the best we've had.
Yeah.
Top two. You want to go to the moon.
I do.
I want to go to the moon.
I want a rocket.
I want to see if it is flat, like I think it is.
Maybe,
or round.
Maybe Laudna died under the Ruidus, or she came back to life under a full Ruidus. I guess it's always full.
We know that she did.
Yeah.
She did?
We know that she did. From the Legend of Vox Machina animated series available on Prime now, all 12 episodes of season one.
Was it a full moon?
There was a shot in that episode, I think, of the full moons, of two full moons.
Ruidus is always full.
Oh.
But it's not always visible.
Right, and if they're both full,
that's what I'm
saying. That's something special.
I think they were both full in that shot, which means that she is hyper moon, moon aware.
Super moon-tastic.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're ever in alignment, do you get a bloodshot googly eye?
That would be amazing. Actually, no.
No?
Ruinous goes behind the other one, I believe.
What?
I think that it vanishes.
No.
Shy.
Or is it, no, it's a magic disappear and reappear, isn't it?
What?
Well, it's flat, so it actually goes through, there's a large coin slot on the side of Katha, and it just slides right on through.
I'm trying to remember exactly how the movement works.
I think
works,
they can be side by side.
They
right?
can, but I think like it goes like.
What?
We've also learned.
How do you know that?
I read
did
a
you,
bunch
did
of lore.
Did Matt write the lore?
He did.
Is this X-Men stuff? Again.
I think it's in the book, in like one of the
what
books.
What about Fern? Does she have moon stuff?
She's a fae thing.
So. Maybe she came through under a full Ruidus moon. Mm-hmm. Under
Let's
a
just
Ruidus
say that that's what happened.
Maximus. I don't know.
What. Kind of a fae thing too.
Let's just say that's what happened.
That's definitely, we're all Ruidus. Connected to the moon.
So this is what the show is, guys. We just pitch out wild theories about our own show.
We're prepping for exams, guys.
Yeah.
I remember that Ruidus is erratic too. We've read or heard that it doesn't really follow a set pattern. It's just kind of shimmying around and doing its own thing. Probably, again, because it's flat, it probably just goes like that.
It's sure. not
We're
flat.
Like, where did it go? Yeah. It's right there. It has just gone profile.
That's true. It's a two-dimensional shape. I've already exhausted Laura 15 minutes into the show.
That was so fast.
That within like a minute.
Years ago.
The other topic we're supposed to just riff on, that's something that happened in the last few episodes.
Yes.
Is that heist, guys?
I had fun.
That heist was amazing.
That was fun.
If you're just joining us.
Oh, God.
The heist where we, please recap for me what happened. We went into an earring.
Yes.
To prove that we're the fastest. I know what happened.
It just happened.
I was there.
It just happened.
I know, but for the people who missed that episode.
Why would they be watching this?
I don't know. They love me. They love the hosts.
It was great. Matt is really excellent at changing up the tempo of our game. So, you know, if it's all just combat after combat, that'll get stale. If it's all shopping, that'll, for most of us, will get stale. If it's all like heartfelt side conversations, that'll get stale. But he just zigs us to the left when we've been doing one thing for before it gets too long.
Shopping doesn't get stale. It's like the character creation, video game character creation version of D&D. It's just, I want to try every hair color and every nose until I'm happy.
I hear that Percival DiRolo, his last great invention was Fantasy Etsy.
Thank you. Not wrong.
Pretty. Were you guys pleased with the outcome of the heist, or at least were you nervous going into it? Do you think we planned well?
I think we planned absolutely horribly. In that moment when it was like starting and we realized we never even scouted around the building.
I kept thinking, as long as we don't split up, we're going to be fine.
And
10 minutes later,
I want to branch off from this topic and come back to it and talk about how all of us made our characters for this campaign and when we showed up to find out who we were playing with. And I specifically made Orym to be like a sidecar guy who was just there to lend support. And as early as EXU, it was like, do the thinking, because I'm going to fucking stick my finger in every electrical socket that is around here. Yeah. So with my mediocre intelligence score, I was suddenly like the brain of the group. And it's changed a little bit. And Orym and Imogen are most of the time kind of minding the shop. But the group is total, like everyone is a chaos
it's
monkey.
It's just mayhem.
Everyone is a chaos monkey.
Yeah.
It's true.
I had FCG.
I had a weird thought partway through, like about halfway through the campaign so far, which, and you're, I think, the only exception to this theory of mine.
Oh.
Which is, on a certain bizarre level, this is a group of NPCs. Like, everybody in like a normal D&D game is like, it's like the guy who works for, like, you're the guy who works for the queen.
I'm a guard. I'm
a goon for basically a villain. You're literally were a, like, a...
R2-D2.
Yeah, you were a beast sidekick. Character for somebody. Like, you know, you would come in a subclass. Laudna's Lada, if you don't know, like literally is like...
She's a dead body.
She's a ghost that you would encounter.
Yeah,
Fern is a strange fey creature that you would encounter.
It would happen upon.
Yeah, it's just like...
She would steal your shit?
It's a weird collection of people who are just kind of, like, should be on the outskirts of all these things, except you. You're the only one who seems to have, like, a feeling of intense destiny out of all of us right now, which I'm totally into. Yeah, so it's really...
Dorian
it's
had a
fun
a
collection.
Too.
Dorian, he had a bit.
Dorian seemed to be a main character of the story.
He buggered off for his own main character story.
It's like, sorry guys, I have some hero shit to do.
Yeah.
No, it's true. That's a good way of thinking about it. I could see Matt playing all of our characters as a silly voice.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially Chetney.
But it's cool, it's cool though, because it's kind of like taking the camera and going, all right, you've looked at these legendary people. These guys over here.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love just the, it's very scrappy.
Yeah.
It's super scrappy.
It's very X-Men.
Yeah.
It is very X-Men.
I imagine.
And true, we are all idiots. Like,
oh, yeah.
Everybody is.
You mean the characters or
yes.
us?
And yes.
Okay. Yes, we're not the greatest. But we pulled it off. We got out of there alive.
It was dicey. I thought we were.
A few times, Travis has done this thing where he goes invisible to scout ahead.
Uh huh.
And then we realize that we can't talk to him or know where he is.
Yeah,
or anything.
He's just gone. It's, you know, he used to do it all the time, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But you, as Vax, I feel like you would say, like, all right, if I'm not back in 5 minutes,
nah.
Come after
no,
me.
No, he was gone. He would just
would
leave, and
go.
It would piss me off
right.
So much.
I'll also say, I don't know if it counts as Travis scouting, because I don't think he has any intention of coming back. I think he's just running forward.
Mm. It's like, or, look at this button.
He's not really, yeah, he's never coming back. He just kind of stumbles back into us at some point.
I remember at the end of the heist thinking it was all, Aurum's mindset was like, okay, we did it. I thought we were all going to go down, but we're getting out with no dirt on our cleats. We came out clean, and then Ashton's like, I'm going to fuck shit up.
Yep.
I'm going to punch that guy.
Yep.
And I was like, nope. And then Imogen started going Dark Phoenix, Caleb Widogast a little bit, and nuking somebody in the other room. I was like, please, all we had to do is walk out of here. We just got to walk out. All we got to do is walk out of here.
I have a certain set of conditions that my character follows, and there are certain slights that I cannot allow myself to forgive.
Like,
I was like, I cannot get out of here without fucking with this guy somehow. There's just got to be something. It's either going to be a punch to the face, or it's going to be this shit. But no,
you have a code.
I have a code.
What's the code?
Are we allowed to know the code?
I mean, it's a complex series, but like, yeah, you don't fuck with a deal. If you have a deal, you don't fuck with it. If you fuck with the deal, new deal, and I get to make up what it is. So,
don't put your hands on me
if I don't know you. There's a few.
Oh,
that's why I got slapped.
He grabbed my mask.
And was like, fuck off.
Okay,
yeah, there are rules.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yes. I know people in real life with that rule.
Oh yeah, it came from somewhere. Yeah.
I'm the host. We've reached the end of that topic.
And, nice, cool.
Let's just get silly for a second.
Oh,
it says,
God.
Oh, good.
It says on the prompter.
Marisha's going to be so proud of you.
You know, between EXU and Campaign 3, and frankly, the other campaigns, there have been a lot of heists. What are some of your favorite heist? What are some of your favorite heist movies or heist scenarios? I thought we were going to talk about the heists that we've done on this show. But no, what are some of your favorite just general heist movies and heist...
Have we had other heists on our show?
Sure.
Outside of this one?
Well, sure.
At the beginning of campaign two, it was like a reverse heist because we were planting... Right? Wasn't that it?
We broke into like a sanitary...
That was an absolutely horrible heist.
But I was thinking early campaign when Ford put the blade to Caleb's neck, like breaking into that house. We weren't robbing the place, but it was breaking.
Wait, was that the place where I pretended to be?
Should we talk about campaign two? Wait,
sure.
Is that spoilers? What if
I
haven't
care.
Seen campaign two?
It's my show.
You're not going to remember.
I'm the captain
You're
now.
The captain now. Got it.
No, there was one where I pretended to be your baby, Caleb's baby, and we went into like a doctor's office or something.
Oh, yeah.
And like barfed all over the place.
That was the soap, or I just
tried
to
like...
That was the egg day. Okay.
That was a heist. Moment.
That was it? Yeah, I guess that was a heist.
Kind of a heist. It wasn't a very good one.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of heist movies. All I can think of is like Ocean's 11.
It's old and probably filled with terrible things.
Like you.
Hudson Hawk. Yeah, well, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I love Hudson Hawk.
Sure.
I love Versus Heist, like just like we did. Like, I think the Leverage TV show had some Versus Heists that were really good.
Also old, but good. Bottle Rocket was a good heist.
Wow, bring that one back.
And... You know, the usual suspects, although...
What was that weird...
Fuck that guy.
Logan Lucky was really good.
Logan Lucky?
You not know about Logan Lucky?
No, what's that?
They robbed NASCAR. It's great.
They robbed NASCAR?
Yeah,
cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's a good heist. It's ridiculous.
You're lagging, Liam and Laura.
Where's your heists? Would you classify The Fisher King... as a heist movie of sorts?
It's a great
movie. It's a one man robbery, so it's more cat burglar. Yeah, it's more arson lupin. You need a gang like Ocean's 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
15, 16.
Well, I mean, I can name
Ocean's
heist
3.
Movies. There's Heat and The Italian Job.
Italian Job's a heist movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm trying to think of some classics.
This is the part of the show where we think about old movies and we try to remember their name. It's a segment that we like to call Movie Think. And it will be a regular segment on the show moving forward. Danny, write that down. Make sure that she has already left the building.
Yeah.
All right, for the next part of Movie Think, what about romantic comedies?
What about him?
Just name some romantic comedies. You know.
French Kiss.
Yep, that's good. Yeah, sure, sure.
Oh, no, I'm backing up. Fish Called Wanda.
Oh, wow.
See, I brought it on you. Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Kevin Klein.
Asshole.
What a talent.
Hey, Wendy, I wonder.
I feel like there was one with Bill Murray in a clown suit robbing a bank.
Oh, that's Quick Change.
Quick Change.
My father and sister and I have watched that movie 50 times, and I can quote the entire
it's the,
thing
It's
to
the
you.
Best fuck New York movie I've ever
well,
seen.
Well, we've reached the end of that segment. And what a segment it was. If you're just joining us, congratulations. Because it's time to pull a question from the Tower of Inquiry, everybody. Are we supposed to stand here or after I finish reading this?
Send somebody over, I believe.
Oh, it's just one person?
Do you go or you send somebody?
How do I choose?
The host. I watched the first episode of the show.
Someone say this in my ear. No? No? Okay, no one's saying anything.
I just keep reading.
We've sourced tons and tons of evergreen questions from the critters and incorporated them into this spooky Chenga Tower. Angle on Chenga Tower. At the end of each segment, or whenever the tavern keeper wills it, am I the tavern keeper or is Danny? I am. One of us will pull a block, read the number, and Danny will tell us the corresponding evergreen question.
What?
Oh,
that was in my ear. And I thought it was you fucking with me. It was in the IFB.
What were they saying? What were they saying?
No, it was just like, it sounded like someone was shaking acorns in a cup. Oh, God. I lost my place. Question, and who asked it? And if the Tower of Inquiry falls, there will be dire consequences for the one who ruins it.
I want to do it.
Okay.
Can I do it?
Horrible, embarrassing consequences. Oh. And with that in mind, pick someone.
Oh.
And with that in mind, Laura, why don't you pull a block?
Seamless. Okay.
First.
What?
We were told ahead of the show that these blocks are sticky. Can you confirm that there is a goo or a stickum?
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they're.
They're sticky as.
Why? Can you ascertain what material or substance is on there?
You don't want me to say.
Okay.
Why are you doing this to me, Sam?
It's just the roll of the dice.
No, but they feel sticky.
All right, go ahead and pull a block.
And you have to use only one hand.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the rule.
That's the Chenga rule.
All right.
I believe.
I don't know if it's possible to do this, but with only one hand.
Is music playing to accentuate the drama here?
Once I touch it, does that mean I'm in?
No, you can.
No, you can try to.
Oh poke. My God, they're so sticky!
Why are they sticky?
This is why I don't know if it's possible to do this with only one hand.
I think they put like a varnish or something.
Oh my God!
On it.
This is mean. They're like glued in place.
They do. Oh,
there you go.
There you go.
Hey. Have to be forceful.
All right, what you got?
11.
You did it.
All right.
11. Danny will read the corresponding question with that number.
I will, Sam.
Good job, sis.
Thanks, bro.
What aspects of your current character were pre-planned and what ended up coming out organically while role-playing?
That's a great question.
Oh, wow.
Such as Veth's fear of water or clay and tea being in-game additions to the character. And, one more part of this, how much do you allow role-playing interactions to affect what you've already planned for your character?
Ooh.
That question is from Itty Bitty Bagel Bites on Twitch.
Itty Bitty Bagel Bites.
That's such a great name.
Hit him up on Twitch. Give him a free sub. Great question.
That's why this game is so much fun, or all tabletop is so much fun, because you come in with a premise.
Sorry, I have ice in my cup.
That's all right. That'll make it enjoyable for you. And then you get to meet the character as you play the character. I've said this before, but I just think I like put little traffic cones out. And then I get on my little RP tricycle, and I see which ones I run into, and see where it goes.
I just pictured Orym riding around on a tricycle, and it was cute as hell.
It would be big for him. Yeah.
Just
big wheel.
Right.
No, it would be just right. We've already established this. Yeah. Orym is Ronan's height.
That's right.
Perfect.
So I just, whenever Ronan is running around, and he has like a play sword, I'm like, oh, Orym.
Yep. Let me know when he flips off the bookshelf.
But specifically, anything that you can point to that was figured out on the fly, even if it was during EXU?
Orym really likes pie. He tried pie for the first time ever.
during EXU, and that was, I did not make pie plans. It's just something that happened.
Now, he's a pie lover.
Well, he doesn't eat a lot of pie because he's gotta keep tight. But he really likes it when he has it.
Laura. Because pie means vagina too, guys.
Help.
So that was the big revelation you had with your character, that he enjoys a normal dessert?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. That's
he was paleo until pie.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't plan on fear of heights at all.
That was just something you did the first time we rode one of those.
It was
funiculars.
Just as Matt was describing it. I'm like, that sounds fucking awful.
Amazing. Do you have fear of heights in real life?
No, I love heights.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Taliesin, anything that we should know?
Oh man, I will say mine's kind of vague, which is that I've just been trying to figure out what punk means in Exandria, because it took a little while to figure out what there is to be punk about in a world that kind of sort of works. Like, there's just not nearly as much going on that's absolutely terrible to be angry
about.
Classism. Yeah, there's classism and, like, some of that. But, like, I think I only got a handle on that about maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago, where I was like, okay, now I've actually kind of got a fundamental framework of why they're so pissed about anything that isn't genuinely personal. So that took a while. But, like, I don't want to spoil any of that, because that's now built into it. But, like,
I feel like
if it's not on paper, then you can do whatever.
There was the first part of the question was, how did you create your character? Wait.
No, it was, what aspects of your current character were pre-planned and what ended up coming out organically?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, what was just a happy accident of role-playing with each other?
Yeah, like, that's just, like, and getting the idea of, like, why they would have friends, like, this group. Trying to figure out why this group made sense is always
totally.
That first step for everybody is always interesting. Is like, why are you hanging out with these people?
Right.
But now I feel very confident in that and like what that's become. So
totally. Yeah, big part of the beginning of every campaign, thinking and feeling through it. Like, these are my friends around the table, but like, why am I invested?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I invested?
I mean, like, I knew that like thoughts were going to be a thing, and she didn't like felt really uncomfortable being around large crowds of people, but I didn't know when I was creating her that Matt was starting us in such an urban setting.
Yeah.
And so as the episodes were going on, I was like, those first episodes, I was really trying to like keep to myself because like it's hard to talk or even concentrate on a conversation that's happening. And then as like the episodes kept going, I'm like, I gotta get over this shit. Because otherwise, like, no one is gonna know like anything about her. So it was that kind of happened organically. I wanted it to be like the minute we got out of the city for it to like shift, but we'd kind of already
shifted it.
Yeah.
And you and Marisha, I'm sure this was covered last episode, you and Marisha planned out your relationship beforehand, like how long you had been together and stuff.
Yeah. We had like big discussions about
where
we met and how long we'd been together and what exactly it was that went down. And
really?
Yeah.
Me and Taliesin had like a conversation.
We had a solid conversation. And like we had a nice little, you know, game zero, which I really enjoyed.
We did.
Set us up and like, yeah, it was, we were not big sharing people. You were a question asker and I was a not question.
Yeah. My character is
more big brother-y.
Is a question asker. And from the first conversation I had with Taliesin, I was like, how would you feel about traveling with someone who really wants to get to know you, every aspect of you, and find out what makes you tick and your wants and hopes and goals and stuff. And he's like, oh, I just wouldn't tell you any of that
stuff. Yeah, no. You're adorable, and I'm going to make sure no one ever fucks with you. But yeah, I want to watch you fuck with other people. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
Kind of the...
So for my guy, I was just like, I assume for the last several weeks before I met the rest of Bell's Hells that I was asking all these questions and just getting nothing back. And so finally I had some people to talk to who would respond to me.
Yeah, I would just send you off on other people and then just giggle. So
I'm getting fond of them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like this group.
Big fan.
Yeah. I think for me, I discovered that they're a flat earther. And possibly But yeah, that's not something in my programming. It's just not something that was added to the memory banks.
Sure.
Nothing to do with you in real life being king of the trolls. Nothing.
No.
No.
No, this is a character
strict
decision.
Strict RP decision.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, of course.
What else did I discover?
You go deep.
I think I discovered that I eat coins as we played.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember reading somewhere in Matt's description or whatever, like that I can get materials to heal myself from rocks or metal or and stuff like that. And I think in one of the earliest games. Oh, and I also had decided before we played, I don't want to fuck with money this whole campaign. Like I just didn't want to have to do the math ever.
Sure.
And so this made a great reason.
I love getting all your and we still figure out ways of like getting you cool stuff, and it seems to be
yes.
working.
And you get extra money.
I get extra money. It's good because I like to spend it and get sure. it out of my system fast. And yeah, and you're a weird homebrew too. I know that I'm weird homebrew, but like you've got, I don't entirely understand what the hell you've got going on.
Yeah.
I'm still learning stuff too, but yeah, there's as we've discovered, I can bond with people. I told Matt when we were starting that I was like, I want a character that gets rewarded for role playing more. Like
That's
the more
cool.
interactions that they have, the more rewards that character gets. And so it will force me and the rest of us to get to know each other real fast.
Yeah, that's cool.
I like that.
So he came up
what
with
What was
some
that
stuff.
Thing? We're not allowed to know. There was one time when I was asking you something
or
like,
glitching.
Yeah, well, not that, not even the glitch, but I was like deep diving and then we finished it and Matt was like, you take a point.
Oh yeah.
I was like, what is that?
Yeah. That is something.
This is something Sam does too, is like anytime you want to know something about just the technical aspects.
He won't say
He just goes, oh yeah, yeah, that's a thing.
I'm pretty good at deflecting.
Are you really?
During the game too, I feel like at our last session, I can't remember what happened, but I said something and I could see Taliesin, you were like, you started to lean forward like you were going to ask a follow-up, and I was just like, anyway, Chetney.
Yeah, yeah.
I love deflecting.
Yeah.
I love it.
Fuck. Good stuff.
Oh, I got to do more hosting?
Yeah, host.
But this has been so great.
Keep hosting.
Okay, that Chenga thing was sure. great, Laura. Oh. Look what you did. Thank you, Itty Bitty Bagel Bites.
Do we keep pulling from the tower?
I don't know. And if you have a hot...
He gets to do as much as he wants, actually.
I want to keep pulling from
yeah,
the tower.
Yeah, I want to pull again from the tower.
I'll do it
again.
Later. I don't know.
Anytime you want.
And if you have a hot and fresh evergreen question, you know what? I'm the host of this show. It doesn't have to be evergreen. Just ask whatever you want.
Chaos.
If you have a hot question, very specific question, for our tight tower of inquiry, you can enter it at critroll.com/tower. All right.
Our tight. Sticky tower.
Our tight and sticky tower that we pull on. that brings us to the next phase of Four-Sided Dive, the deep dive.
Oh.
Danny, what's on the menu for the deep today?
Oh, well. It's happening.
I'm going to bring you guys some tankers.
Ooh. Danny Carr. Are these the first time that these ones have been used? Or someone was here last
time?
Yes,
because these are personal.
This is our first time.
I know, but were you on the show last time?
No.
No, none of us were.
Oh, we're
right?
All
you
new.
Weren't on
okay.
the show.
No, I haven't.
Look,
what's,
at
look at that.
Oh, and it's like the glass. My super.
What happened there?
You know?
It's perfect.
Oh, cool.
I love it.
Look at this.
It's like
my
character's
body. All class. That's what this is.
Yep.
It makes sense that this would be a...
So what, can you just, why? Why is this a...
Mine wasn't ready.
Because you had lots of notes?
No.
Couple
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I just wasn't ready. Okay. I think maybe they thought I was going to be on a later episode.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay, because this one I like even more than whatever it was going to be.
Oh, now, Taliesin, yours is like your Baja Blast hammer, right?
Yep, yep.
Nice.
Baja Blast.
I've
got Big Moon, Little Moon.
Yes, yep. You do.
Oh, I can't resist. No.
And I'm drinking out of my own body. we're going to take turns pulling questions from our tankards. And since I'm the tavern keeper, I'll be kicking this one off.
Ooh.
Okay, Sam. How?
Such a troll.
What? Oh, was I not supposed to do that?
First thing we're asked before the show is, don't say your name when you read the questions from the cup.
Is that true?
Yep.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't know, but here you are.
But I love it.
It's like that.
It makes you sound like a dingus.
Well, why wouldn't we say our names? I love my name.
It's his favorite word.
You know.
He uses it like Smurf.
Sam, how is fresh cut grass doing since their malfunction in the Shade Mother's lair? Sam, can you give us some insight on what happened to him down there, Sam? Boy. Well, I think I've recovered since then, and I think we all together learned that I needed some rest to sort of reset. And what Milo pointed out, right? Did we go back to Milo after that?
We did.
Milo pointed out that it was some sort of energy overload.
But how did you know to do it?
Oh, did boy.
Was Matt
we should go to the next question.
Fucking.
I know because you know.
Are you glitching right now?
Oh boy. This is such a spoilery question.
Tell us who your secret crush is.
You know what I'll say? I, Sam Riegel, I know the mechanics of how this works, but Fresh Cut Grash does not know the mechanics of how this works.
I like
say it. Your character's name again.
Fresh Cut Grash.
Fresh Cut Crash?
I suddenly remembered my Charlemagne. So I can't in good faith answer this, but I will say that it was scary for my character.
Aww.
And honestly, this is something that I can't say. In the moment, I didn't really know how to act. I didn't know how to, I knew sort of what was happening to my character, but I had to, come up with, oh, God, I have to, perform this. What does this mean performance-wise? Do I suddenly start talking like this, or do I,
Get off of me!
And in those moments, it's whatever you try is what
that's
it
the
is.
Thing! Yeah. So I just started,
It's a young fly that's flying around the set this time, and he's on your sleeve.
On my sleeve?
No, he is.
Oh, you're right. He's right there.
Oh,
no way. No.
He flew away, but that was great.
He's. Yes, so that's what I can say about that. Let's move on to the next cup.
He's cute as a button, though.
Who, my fresh cut grass?
That's a grassy high. He's so cute.
He is cute. Yeah. What you got there, Tally?
Let's find out what is my cup fortune. Where did Ashton get their magic glass hammer?
Oh.
So that hammer was actually made from leftovers. It was made by Milo. It was some of the leftovers after they had finished putting me together. It was just extra materials from...
Leftover from what?
From my accident.
But what about the big chonk on the hammer? Yeah,
the big blue?
Yeah.
That's the same glass that's in their head. Got melted down in there.
But you were injured. You had a gaping hole in your head.
Yes.
Milo said, I know how to fix this. I'll fill it with glass.
Milo said,
is really hard glass.
Milo just kind of, there was a bunch of stuff that got put into there and magic stuff, and then glass got poured, got poured in. And that was part of the chunk of glass that was left over from the main piece. They were like, this all seems to be doing things and reacting, so now you've got to. I took these leftover bits and made you something. Was basically
cool.
And was it special? Was it special glass? Are we allowed to know that?
I don't think anything.
But it doesn't break when you hit things with it.
Yeah,
it's tempered.
It's magic.
Glass.
It is magic.
It's magic. Okay.
But who knows why or how? Because none of this was supposed to work. So this is kind of weird.
What was Ash? Oh, the fly was right there.
It's in your cup.
Whose cup?
It's right next to your armpit.
No.
Right next to your armpit.
It is.
Oh, God.
Get it. You got it.
I'm sorry. I totally screamed in the mic. He is. I got him. He's right here. Give me a mic. No.
Squeeze it.
No, give me
kill
a
it.
Mic.
I'm dying.
I can't
set off
him.
The fire-breathing lion.
Oh, you guys, I just pushed him down into the chair.
That's okay. We'll get him back in there.
Stuff it into the...
Oh, he's here. I got him.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
He's wrapped up in this...
Throw him under the table. We'll deal it later.
We'll have a proper burial later in the show.
Sorry I screamed.
That was fair.
Maybe we can throw him in the fireplace. can you answer me one more
follow-up?
Sure, yeah. Ashton, what did Ashton use as a weapon before that?
I think they were honestly just puncher. There's a kind of like a chain knuckle thing that they have. If you see in some of the picture, they've
Does
got a lot of rings.
Does it have words on it or anything?
No. It was just some basic stuff. It was they were trying to kind of become a lockpick. They were doing like sneaky second story stuff, so there wasn't a lot of that before.
Cool.
But like, yeah, mostly whatever was around. Table legs.
Woke up a brawler.
Yeah, and then was just like, it was already kind of tough, and then it was like, well.
Woke up angry.
Yeah, woke up angry.
That's awesome.
It's already angry, woke up worse. So, yeah.
Twinsies, you want to pick?
Lala.
Did Imogen know that the lightning strike marks on her arms have been slowly growing in relation to the dreams? Or is that discovery new? For her.
Why would you read that question in that voice?
I don't know. So she wasn't born with the lightning marks on her arm, right? She wasn't born with anything that she has now. So she knows that it is and knew that it was somehow related to the dreams, but I always thought, like, and this is me personally, I thought that they... and Imogen, thought that they grew the more she used her magic. So as they started to appear, when those powers started to come, she was terrified to use any of the magic powers that she had, because the more that they grew, the more it made obvious that something was happening with her. So that was a kind of a revelation, like, oh shit, it's coming with the dreams, it's not coming with the spells.
How about the hair? Out of curiosity, or is that a spoiler?
I was going to ask that too.
The hair.
Was that you were born with, happened, or a conscious choice?
I hadn't decided yet.
I just wanted purple hair.
I understand. I definitely understand. So.
Cool. So we'll find out. Yeah. Stay tuned in campaign 3.
You can drop it in like 30 episodes.
Yeah. Who knows? Well, yeah, that's a decision that will be made at a later date.
My father ran a bubblegum factory. It went bad. Real bad.
I guess it does make kind of sense. Like, it doesn't make sense to have purple hair, but maybe she was born with purple hair. Her mom had something funny going on.
Anything we do make sense?
What? Like,
I just said this wanted her to have purple hair.
Five generations back.
You know?
Or a grape.
Exactly.
Or a tiefling or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grape Genasi.
I imagine she was born with purple hair. But, you know.
Knights of the Loom.
All right, Mimi. What you got?
Let me pull out a tiny piece of paper. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, it's definitely that one. Let's see what we got. Don't say my name. How is Aurum handling Loudna's revelation about her past? What was it like to hear her tell that story?
Why do you say Loudna?
Loudna?
Says Loudna and who says Loudna?
Well, I don't know. You read your question in a funny accent.
Yeah, but you always say Loudna in game.
No, I don't say Loudna.
Yes, you do say Loudna. Yes, you do. You say Loudna. You always say Loudna.
I say Loudna.
Okay,
know.
Cool. That's something I learned from my role playing as it came up. Lottie, what was it like when Lottie made her revelation? I mean, it's sort of like meeting a historical figure, because Aurum was not super important in Zephyr. I mean, he had a very important job. He was one of multiple people who always was around the voice of the Tempest at all times, because she's running a country. She can't be bothered to be looking in every direction all the time. And he just overheard a ton, and he spent a lot of time 15 feet away from Vox Machina members talking to each other. And they, I'm sure, talked about everything that happened in the past. So it's a little bit like hearing about someone from World War II popping up right in front of you. So I think part of him wants to believe that it can't be true, but he believes it. He believes her, and he knows it's true. I don't know. They've got so much to do, and he's clearly got his own objectives, but it's like carrying around a little piece of plutonium. And he thinks about, well, do I radio home about this now, or is it better to have in person, or would they even believe it? So he's just sort of waiting on that.
Ashton doesn't care, but somewhere in the back, Percy's screaming bloody murder, by the way. Like, just loud, irritated British screams. so.
I legit have no idea what I'm supposed to do right now. Should we, pull another one?
Okay,
we'll pull another one.
Keep going around.
Okay, here we go. Pull in another question. We'll do these faster this time, maybe. Sam, Liam famously picks your character's race and class for each campaign. What was your reaction when he picked Robot Healer? And where did the therapist idea come from? Well, Liam is my race and class benefactor, yes. Mm-hmm. And for this one, you said robot, mm-hmm. and you said cleric. Mm-hmm. And I think the wheels started turning because we've had several clerics on our show before in various campaigns. You had your pike, sort of a classic healer cleric type, and Jester, bad healer.
You're awful.
Clerics are very flexible, though. There's a lot of different ways to play out.
Caduceus had his own vibe and calmness. And I just wanted to find something that was a little like a different spin on it. Also, with my characters, I tend to try to do things. I try to find characters that I don't know much about. I try to delve into things that I'd like to learn more about. And I famously have never gone through therapy or anything like that. And so I kind of wanted to know what it's about. And so I
should really try it.
Pretty cool. I mean, yeah.
No, but like,
therapy's great.
We talked about it like at the very beginning, where you're like, I'm gonna delve into this.
I
was
I got
excited.
Some books.
And like, is this cool?
Yeah,
I'm like,
therapy for dummies.
I got a therapy for dummies book. I also talked to a few friends who are in various fields of psychiatry and psychology, and also my character is maybe not the greatest therapist, but it gives me an opportunity to delve into other people's goals and. Insecurities and backstories and stuff, and I just really wanted to see how that would work.
Well, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you definitely remind me of like a lot of my friends, like who went to college and like their first year as a psychology major, where clearly they're the problem.
Uh huh.
I mean, like the vibe is nailed. I'm very impressed.
I got everything I wanted. The reason I gave you that build is because of what an improbable combination it seemed like to me, and you're so creative, I knew that you were gonna come up with something.
It's great,
entertaining and fascinating.
It was fun to think about, and it was fun to sort of think about like what do they sound like and what kind of personality do they have. At some point, like earlier on, I was gonna make my character curse a lot, just like a lot, because kind of like yours, because I and talk in this very weird voice, because I was going to justify it with like, that's how my builder talked, and so I just talk like they talk, and then after a while I was like, I don't want to curse all the time. It just seems exhausting. No offense.
No And yes, you're right, but no, like I kind of watched you find the voice in that session zero.
You
were like, you were going and going. I'm like, oh god, that's too funny. Oh,
it's
no,
so hard to like
to hear him do an impression of you nonstop. It's so strange.
To settle on a voice. Yeah. It's so hard.
Especially if you're Travis and you have two people talking at you
there
like this.
So many infectious accents. Like there are accents that are like viral. And like they're all at the table right now. It's it's really hard not to do this
but
on occasion.
We love this shit.
Oh yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
We love characterization.
Of course.
And I love seeing it go wrong. It's the best. I love Marisha's accent
Marisha's
work.
Marisha's killing it.
Oh my god.
Oh, this campaign?
Yes.
It's such a great. Oh, yeah. So much fun.
This is a thing she used to do in like when we were doing theater many, many years ago.
I love
it's my
the
favorite.
Over the top.
My
yes.
favorite thing that she ever does.
And Ashley also was real smart. Because it's not that she picked an accent. She just picked a way.
She picked a way of being.
And it's just so great.
Just 50s movie star.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. So Marilyn.
Let's keep going around the horn.
You're
all right,
up.
I'm up.
Try to get class. Three rounds of questions in.
I'm into it.
Okay. Two
Come
or
on.
Three. Danny's saying she wants to go home. She's
not saying the name because that's Ghosh. Ashton claims to not be here to make friends, but how is he feeling about the members of Bell's Hells?
Ooh.
he is a liar to himself and others. Oh. They're very, very big on believing that they know themselves very, very well, and they really don't, and they're full of shit
a lot. Need people.
Except when they're not. Oh yeah, everybody needs, but like, it's even worse when you need people but you're bad at it.
Yeah.
So this is the first time they've been even vaguely good at it in a while, and I think part of it is because everyone seems to also be a bit of a shit, or into being a bit of a shit, if that makes sense, especially Chetney.
Like, everybody's awkward.
Everyone's awkward, and everyone's kind of okay with, it's so nice that there's someone in the group who's okay having their pocket picked all the time, and that's just such a safe place to remove some tension. So, yeah, there's... Yeah.
Better here. Than there.
Oh my God, yeah, because now all that, they just love fucking with people anytime they don't know them, whenever there's someone you can just be kind of a dick to, just a little bit. And yeah, like I can just do that to Chetney now, and it's fine. They can take it.
He's fine. Okay. Laura Bailey?
Yeah.
Into the solo.
Kala Luli.
Do you have theories? Do you have theories on who the figure that Imogen saw in the Red Storm might be? Mm. I have no fucking clue.
Liam, you're up.
Fix all that.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, wait, darling. You played yourself there.
Do you, Laura Bailey, have any wild ideas?
Wild theories? I mean, maybe my mom is evil. Maybe my mom has dual, characteristics fighting as well. Maybe, you know, part of her is telling her to run away from it, and then there's other part of her is saying, like, enter the storm. Maybe, who knows?
Maybe it's a nega version of you.
Maybe it's a nega version of
you. Evil version of you.
Maybe it's bad Imogen. Maybe it's Imogen if, like, she lets the storm take over. Whoa. I don't know.
Yourself up there?
It's been such a weird thing because, like, when I sent that story to Matt, like, it was very, I was very adamant that, like, she was... Like, it felt like if she didn't run away from the storm, she was going to die. And then now, like, kind of figuring out, like, oh, maybe, I don't know, am I gonna die? Or is it, like, I don't know what it does. I'm so scared of it and intrigued by it at the same time.
Here for it.
Ugh!
Yeah. Liam O'Brien.
I already pulled one, and then I pulled a second just to see if I liked the next one better, but I'm sticking with the first. How has it been navigating new group dynamics after Orym's time with the Crown Keepers? What is it like taking the same character out of one group and into another? Boy, I was...
That is tough.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we are such a tight-knit family. And part of me was like, I want to hatch Orym with the people that I've done it with. But as with everything in life, like anything that you're scared of, you do. So I'm like, well, I'll just figure it out in advance, and then I'll just be, you know, in 20 episodes it won't matter because it'll just feel like a big pile of episodes. They are worse chaos gremlins than this group. There was no other babysitter or rational, level-headed person in that group. Dorian sometimes, but Dorian... was like a chameleon. He would take on the attributes of whoever was talking to him. And it really did, after us doing this together for years, make me be like, who are you? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that felt really super weird, even though, I mean, like, that's the story we told at the beginning of campaign two, but I don't know. It just was a different layer added to it and was great. The EXU group has its own text thread.
I know.
And it's still alive.
I'm not on it.
We're not on it.
No, why would you be?
I want to be on
it. Yeah, sure you do.
Doesn't it make you feel
I have
like
a text
left
thread
out?
With Laura and Taliesin that you're not on.
It's true.
I'm on one with Travis.
Mm-hmm.
You mean
me too.
You've texted Travis before?
I mean, there's other people too, but like that's the only one I'll admit.
Is that
to.
Your Fight Club thread?
It is actually our Fight Club thread.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Liam's not on the Fight Club. I wouldn't
Are
think
you?
Sam would be in the Fight Club.
God, no.
No, no.
Not with these feet.
I feel like you would like a Fight Club.
Someone has to fuck me up real bad to like get me in.
Yeah, it'd be.
Who wants to do
like,
it?
You like sure. Whiskey
Tonight.
Slap so yeah. much.
I do. It's been a long time though.
It's been a long time since Whiskey Slap.
We're gonna try to get one more round of questions in.
Is that four-sided dive content? I don't know.
No, probably not.
Can we just start fighting?
Oh my gosh, should we slap each other?
We could.
We could do that.
We could.
Oh God.
Do you want to slap
someone, Laura?
I mean, yeah, sure.
All right, slap someone.
Give no, I can't.
Give me a slap.
No,
give,
I can't,
Give the people
Liam.
What they want.
Let's
give
do
the
that.
People what they want. One slap. We don't even have to, I wouldn't even have to slap you.
I can't.
Make me feel alive.
Get close. Get close on this.
Should I do
get,
it?
Get close
I mean,
on
this. Yes. Apparently it's happened.
But, watch
are we allowed, is this violence? Are we allowed to do
it's
this?
It's not violence if it's
my,
gonna,
just my nipples
consent.
Are not going to come out.
Okay.
Just don't hit this side.
This is a very common
so
thing.
So aim for this.
Yes, this another. Is the,
that's
tonight,
the bad side. Here, right.
Tonight on Four Sided Dive.
This is how long it's been since we've like.
You ready?
Yes, I love it.
Oh.
Come on.
Should I really do it or should I kind of do it?
Really.
80%.
What are Twitch?
80%.
Okay.
Let's go for 75.
Okay.
Okay.
If, okay. I'm going to do it. Ready?
Okay. You don't know shit about Severance.
Yeah, yeah. This dude, get a slow-mo. We can have like a,
get a slow-mo.
Okay,
one,
oh, man.
Two, okay. Three.
Oh. I'm happy. I'm alive.
You won't get that when Marisha hosts.
I mean. Now people know what happens when we get dumb
right.
and a little drunk.
Fight
yeah.
We're oh,
yeah.
going to put a poll up later to see if we should make the slapping thing a regular feature.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably not.
Okay, speed round. Speed round of these questions. How does FCG feel about the way others treat them? He is often the source of interest and confusion about many for many people. How does that attention affect them? This is a great question. Thank you, whoever wrote it. early on, FCG was totally cool with that and thought it was great that people should be interested in them. But as we've gone, and as Matt keeps bringing it up, and as y'all have started saying, like, FCG, how do you feel about that? Was that okay? I'm not cool with it anymore. Fuck those people.
Yay!
How dare they? How dare they?
That's proud. Great.
And I think I came to that realization like in the last couple episodes because of y'all just sort of saying, you know, that's not cool. And so that's another thing that I've learned as we've gone through just from role playing. Okay, good. Next question. Talison, go. We're ping ponging.
Did Ashton live at the Graymore State home their entire childhood or did they live somewhere else beforehand? They ended up there, I will say at the very least, this is not spoilery, just before double digits. They weren't at double digits yet. So clearly they came from somewhere, but yeah, they spent everything from like older child to teenager, at least at the home. So.
Great. Great answer. Great question. Keep going.
The ball seemed to be a very tumultuous experience for Imogen. Can you tell us more about what that night was like for her?
Oh, boy.
That was a tough night. That was a tough night because that was the first time she's been around that many people in an enclosed space. Oof. So it was... What was that?
Yeah.
She knew things were supposed to... Like, she was supposed to be focused. It was like... All of the walls, she couldn't keep them up high enough, so all of the thoughts were coming in her head. She's never been able to be dressed up in her entire life, so was very excited about the prospect of that, and then, like, trying very poorly to hide the fact that she was bummed about the fact that she was, you know, shoved in a corner, and then just, like, all of the frustrations coming out to a head. It was a very... hard night for her.
It was a rough night.
I look forward to watching her just sort of grasp her power as the months go on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think you also need a horse
lose control
mane.
Of it.
I think you need to be
destroyed.
I think you need a purple maned horse too, like a Rainbow Bright character.
Oh my god.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
My little pony.
Like a gray horse with some white stripes and then a purple mane.
Yeah,
make it happen.
She-Ra, Princess of Destruction.
I mean,
that'd be amazing.
One more question right. for you, Leamy.
Here we go. How is Aurum feeling about the winding thread left behind by the assassins? What is chasing this path like for him? That's not a speed round question.
You have 40 words.
Okay, it's like messaging. He's been wandering. I'm not going to do that. He's been wandering for years. Sort of just trying to put it behind him and come to peace. Because nobody, even the higher minds of Zephyr, knew what to do about it or how to figure it out. He's frustrated now. I mean, going to... he feels like their leads are growing cold, and he's not sure that there's enough to go on. He's still going forward where they are right now because it's the best he's got, and he's starting to grow fond of everybody. But it's making him, I don't know, it's given him sort of a sharper purpose for, I don't know, justice is too strong a word. He's not Batman at all, but, you know, something should just be made right, and he feels like it should be made right. That's it. That's my answer.
That's cool. Before we move on, I just wanted to do a quick psychological survey of us. Can you please hold up the questions that were asked to you?
Can I?
The pieces of paper.
Well, one of them has a fly in it.
Yeah, sure. But so mine got crumpled up into little pieces. I just wanted to show like the state of the paper. Mine got crumpled up and squeezed as tight as they can, I guess because of my deep-seated insecurities and fears. Taliesin's got folded into origami-like shapes.
Yep.
And paper airplanes because he's so creative and confident. Laura didn't touch hers. She doesn't fuck with that. She just read them and tossed them aside like they were nothing to her. And this is just a mess.
Well, here's the first one.
What is happening?
Untouched.
Over here?
And somewhere around here is where Laura slapped me and it all changed.
This one's like a little mushroom thing. Yeah. This one's just folded in fourths. Sure. This one's not touched. You're a mystery, an enigma.
And I just tap dance. I tap dance between the raindrops.
Wow. I've learned so much about you guys. It's time for a quick round of the Tower of Inquiry because we're running low on time because I'm a poor host. So I'm going to say, do I get to pick?
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Well, I want to do it.
Do it.
I'm doing it.
Yourself, yeah.
So much power.
Fall.
No, one hand.
One hand.
Oh,
okay. He's disqualified. Give him the consequence.
Don't tap it too hard, Samuel.
Can't you tap? Oh.
No, don't take the middle piece. It makes it too easy.
Ooh. For who?
Everybody. It's sticky. You gotta okay. So choose a side piece.
A side piece?
Okay. Yeah, you gotta set it up to fall.
She's inside your head, man.
She is inside my head. Oh, that's a middle piece. This is gonna take forever. They said quickly.
Come on.
Immediately.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Are you
okay?
A lunatic?
21.
21. Ooh, this is a great one.
Love it.
I mean, they're all great. All of the questions
they're
are
all great.
Where do I go?
I don't know.
What do I do with my hands?
If the campaign was a Muppet movie, which Muppet would play your character from at Butch Cookie on TikTok?
That's not hard.
Muppets. Oh.
That's a great question.
Am I in frame?
You can go back to your seat now.
Yes.
I love the Muppet.
Yeah. I feel like my character is already Beaker.
Yeah, oh my god.
Wait, is that's
yeah. No, yeah. Mimi is, yeah, and that, yeah, Beaker and Bunsen Honey.
Or maybe it's, Bunsen. No, it's Beaker.
Fern would be Janet.
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I want to see that Muppet now.
Yeah.
Animal,
yeah,
I mean, come on.
Oh, Animal? Yeah, that's good.
Hammer!
Yeah. Orm would be either Kermit or possibly Robin, who was Kermit's nephew.
Oh,
yeah, that or Scooter was the only other one I had in there, but probably
I was
Kermit.
Thinking Scooter for Imogen.
Ooh.
I get that. Yeah,
that makes sense. Right? No, I get that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Smart.
Since we're here, we can finish up the group, maybe.
Yeah. Fern, wait, we did Fern already. Fern could also
be Waldorf and Statler.
Oh, never mind.
That's good.
Wait, who'd you say?
Waldorf and Statler up in the.
Yes. Holy yes. What about Ladna?
Ladna.
Miss Pig.
What about Loudna?
No.
She's a hard one.
She is.
Let me think about this.
Who is. Oh, the count?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, we get to include Sesame Street?
Why not?
Wait, is that on the show?
That's a Muppet.
Oh, they're it's all Henson.
Sure.
The count. Yeah, I mean, why not?
Hey, that was fun. Was that everybody? Dorian? Sam Eagle? Just because he's blue.
Rolf the dog, I feel like, is a really good pull there. Just.
What a great question.
That was fun.
Is Matt John Denver visiting?
Oh wow! Or yeah, the John Denver or Mark Hamill.
Which one of you is the human? Which one of you is the human surrounded by all of the Muppets?
I feel like that would be Imogen.
would be the human surrounded by all of the Muppets.
You've got special guest host.
Thank you, Butch Cookie. And if you have an evergreen or not question for us, you can enter your questions for the Tower of Inquiry at critroll.com/tower. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, but stick around because when we come back, we're going to be playing Street Fighter V. See you in a bit.
Ooh.
Break, 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 break,
break.
That's it for the podcast version of this episode of Foresighted Dive. In the video version, we wrap up each episode by playing some games, which don't always translate well to an audio-only format. Honestly, it's mostly yelling, truly. So be sure to check out the rest of the episode via the VOD for the full chaos. If you've enjoyed this deep dive into the campaign, be sure to drop us a rating and a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. Your thoughts may just encourage a new critter to take the plunge. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/criticalrole and youtube.com/criticalrole, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. We'll see you again next month. Bye-bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.